You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Beverley, Newton Abbott and Salisbury on Wednesday afternoon. Bath and Kempton provide the action in the evening. And we've also got a decent card over in Ireland from Goram Park as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. What's new? What's going on?
The last podcast was actually quite good, I do with you.
Yeah.
Three winners and a non-runner. I doubt we'll live up to that again, but it was quite successful for Monday's racing.
Yeah, man in form.
Well, the Naps table lies, unfortunately. The Naps table suggests otherwise, but I'll say we're just pulling clear of Gary Capewell again near the bottom of the table, which is always a positive.
It is. If you can get away from Gary Capewell, it's always a positive.
Definitely. Yeah. I'll say if you could have just... I think I should have had like triple points for that podcast, and an apps table should have been made me look a little bit better, maybe.
How would you work it? If you get more than two winners on a podcast, you get an extra point on an apps table?
Just give me plus 30 and then just move me nearly up to the level stakes, and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah? No. No.
Mind you, Alex Dunn, I can't believe he's leading it, to be fair. There's still a fair way to go, but for the man that was hitting minus 100 the last flat season, he's changed form.
I'm sure I'll be happy if you remember.
Oh, I'll never let him forget that.
Yeah. Form is temporary,
class is permanent.
I don't think he's got either of those two things. So.
Debatable.
Right, let's talk about a little bit of racing news before we get stuck into Wednesday's action. York isn't far away. I'm getting pretty excited about that. And Wesley Ward apparently is excited over his monster Acapulco, who heads to the Nunthorpe next week from Royal Ascot, if she's as good as that. She was huge, wasn't she? And very impressive.
Well, they didn't even call her a three-year-old. They called her a four-year-old against a fellow two-year-old, Acapulco, and she destroyed him in the Queen Mary. Did it very, very well. A horse like that, you just wonder how much scope they have, because obviously they're so much stronger than their opposition at the moment. But 2 year olds get a massive weight allowance in the Nunthorpe. She's only had to have 8 stone on her back, whereas the colts and geldings, 4 year olds and up, have got 9, 13. So that's going to be a lot of weight she's receiving, nearly 2 stone. They're going to employ the services of a top American rider who I must admit I know very little about. Irad Ortiz, who apparently you were saying off there has won $50 million in New York.
Apparently, yeah, in prize money.
Obviously, he's probably very short because he's only doing 8 stone on the filly, but not many English-based riders could do that kind of weight, so no surprise they've got an American-based jockey. And the form she showed in that Queen Mary, I think she's got a very, very good chance.
Yeah, 8 stone. To do 8 stone. You have to chop it in half for me to do 8 stone.
7 stone 13 once.
Did you?
When I was 18.
Wow.
And then at the end of the career, if we did 8-9, that was an achievement. But for you, yeah, we definitely would be removing one leg, maybe two.
You'd have to take the whole bottom half of it to get 8 stone.
But not many jockeys can do that anymore. And there's actually, to be fair, very, very few opportunities where you can actually ride at that weight. Sometimes at the 3 or plus handicaps at the start of the season or in claimers and stuff. So most jockeys now, as long as you can do 8 stone 7, you can ride most of the horses. But then again, when you get that kind of horse... there's very few English-based jockeys around, and obviously in America the weights are a lot lighter, so there's more choice out there, and it'll be a big day for him, obviously riding in Europe first time over here. But it's a straight line. She's a very, very speedy filly, looks uncomplicated, so I think it'll be interesting.
Just been through the betting for the Nunthorpe. It's on site at the moment. Acapulco is the 7-4 market leader, 6-1 for Muthmere. Soul Power is 7s, 9-1 for Mecca's Angel. Eastern Angel and Gold Dream are both 10s, 12-1 for Wardy and Washington DC, and 14s or bigger for the others. About the right price, 7-4, do you reckon?
Yeah. Nothing's really standing out in the sprinters, are they, at the moment? Nothing's really stamped their authority that's going to be running in the Nunthorpe, and with that weight allowance, Kingsgate Native obviously did the business, and she showed much more at Royal Ascot than what Kingsgate Native perhaps did. She does look a machine, getting the full allowances, and very, very hard to beat.
Yeah. Elsewhere, other news, we've got another big race coming up in France on Sunday in the Prix-Jacques Le Marois. It's a target for Glen Eagles, providing the ground is right quick enough. But it's also a target for Tomor and Eschtigdar from the Richard Hannon yard. If all three of them turn up, it'd be a great race.
Weather forecast obviously going to be interesting. Yeah. There's a little bit of rain forecast in Deauville. It was quite quick there on Sunday. And Glen Eagles, realistically, is going to be far too good for them, you would imagine. Tormor is a very, very good horse in his own right. He won the Lanark Stakes at Glorious Goodwood, recently been purchased, gone from Midland Park to Godolphin, and they'd obviously be very keen to get a Group 1 from him. But I don't think he's really in the class of Glen Eagles. I think it's quite a nice opportunity for him. It's a shame if he doesn't go Glen Eagles for the Judd Monte, taking on Golden Horn. It does appear that Cornwall may be quite happy to sidestep some stronger opportunities. But keeping it a mile away, it does make sense. It's obviously where he's got to his form. Maybe they just think his stamina is a little bit doubtful. But I think it's a nice opportunity for him in Deauville anyway.
I think it's probably the correct decision, really, isn't it? You know he's best at a mile. You've got a few concerns about a mile and a quarter, and then you're taking on one of the best mile and a quarter horses we've seen
for definitely.
Years.
But then again, I can see why they're doing it. But for racing, I think it'd be nice to see the two champs against each other. But ultimately, one of them is going to get beaten, and one of them is going to certainly prove head and shoulders above the other. But I'd say it's a little bit disappointing, but not surprised.
Looking even further ahead, the 2,000 guineas next year. I'm sure you've got it all figured out already. Just mentioning
we haven't probably seen a 2,000 guineas winner yet, maybe. But
well, a few people must think so, because Air Force Blue proving popular at the top of the market for next year's Classic.
Yeah, he's the best we've got so far, isn't he? Probably lack of experience cost him when he was beaten by Berrettino in the Coventry. It was only his second start, whereas Berrettino was on about start number six for Mark Johnson. And he certainly reversed the form quite comfortably at the Curra in the Phoenix Stakes at the weekend. He deserves to be favourite. He's the best we've seen so far. Will there be better contenders to come? Probably the 2,000 guineas is probably won by the sharper type. Obviously, on the Derby, we definitely haven't probably seen the Derby winner run yet. But Air Force Blue, I probably wouldn't be backing him at this stage, this early on for the guineas, at around 8-1. I think he's short enough, bearing in mind, even if he continues unbeaten for the rest of the season, he's probably not going to be much bigger than about 4-1. So I will keep your money in your pocket for a while.
All right. Anything else caught your eye in the news? Anything you want to mention before I move on?
No, nothing in particular.
Why change the habit of a lifetime? Yeah. Let's leave that then and move on to...
Do no more than is necessary, Mark.
Is that from your jockey days, not wanting to blow the handicap mark, only do what's necessary?
Keep everything.
Keep your cards
close. Don't overcomplicate things.
Right. Well, on that note, let's move on.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, James, we've got four races for us on Wednesday. We start at Beverley in their 3:35. This one is a class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 12 here, James. And just looking through them, we've got four last-time-out winners to name them. It's Art World, Pearl Noir, Hoof Along and Hat-Trick-Seeking Tom Sawyer. Quite a good race to start with here.
Yeah, competitive stuff. Class 5 handicap here at Beverley. And the draw can be crucial. Generally, you want to be drawn near the far side rail, which generally favours the low numbers. And for that reason, probably the two most informed horses, Tom Sawyer and Hoof Along, are probably drawn a little bit high, 10 and 12 respectively, which is a bit of a concern for those two. Although Tom Sawyer has got course distance form next to his name, and he is slightly better berthed than stall 10, with a claim of Joe Doyle likely to help. But the one I'm going to go for is from stall 1, Sea Vermont, for Rebecca Basterman and Paul Morrennan. Generally been in very, very good form. Ironically, trained in the north, yet best form has come at Bath and Chepstow. But a good effort at Beverley when second to Lazy Sue. Three starts back, again beaten ahead by Prigzhnov Dancer. Five starts back, shows he goes at Beverley. Stall one is ideal. And I think in a very, very open and competitive sprint, Sea Vermont each way is probably the one that I would go for. Art World is interesting at the bottom of the weight. Sneaks in off just 8-4 with Sylvester D'Souza booked for Brian Ellison. He won. It was probably the worst maiden ever. Under a £7 claim at first. The 9-1 on favourite, I think it was, got withdrawn at the start and it ended up being an extremely weak event. But Brian Ellison is a very, very good trainer. It's meant that he's got a very, very low handicap mark, and a confidence-boosting win might just help him. But he'll be interesting. Just keep an eye on the market. Sylvester D'Souza booked, but the one I'm going to go for is Si Vermont for Rebecca Basterman and Paul Morenin.
Si Vermont for James then in the 3:35 at Beverly. To Salisbury for their 3:55 next. This one is the Upavon Filly Stakes, which is a listed race of a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 14 here for this listed race, and several of them arrive in pretty good nick, James. Who wins this?
Yeah, real competitive stuff. The one I like is the Roger Triton trained Suffused. The Sheikh Khalid Abdullah filly won extremely well over course distance here about a month ago now, and won by 6 lengths, very, very impressively, building on her Newbury handicap success the time before. And like I say, she's a real improver. Got form at the track. Roger Charlton likes her a lot, and whereas most of these fillies are reasonably exposed, she definitely is not, and there's plenty of improvement in her. 3-year-old, she's getting a hefty £9 from the older fillies as well, which will help, and I think she'll be very, very hard to beat. The form horse is a Cheeley Park Studs Provenance, who has generally been very consistent, a good second last time out in a listed race at Sandown, been running in this grade ever since winning a handicap at Haydock a year ago, and just generally been finding one too good in Patton Company. I just think it might be the same case again behind Suffused. Interesting one that's really racking up a bit of a sequence is Chain of Daisies for Henry Candy and Dane O'Neill. Once her last 3 starts, including a valuable fillies handicap at York last time, she's only rated 94, so she's got a little bit to find with the principles, but I think she can improve again, and she's probably the biggest danger to Suffused. Lightning Thunder's been very disappointing for Ollie Stevens. She was second in the 1,000 guineas behind Miss France last year, and then the Irish 1,000 guineas. But the wheels have really fallen off since then. Been running a listed company and not really made much difference. But she's got a bit of backlash. She's probably the best horse in the race on that 3-year-old form, but she does need to bounce back. So for that reason, I'm going to stick with the 3-year-old Suffused, and I think she can make it back-to-back Salisbury successes for Roger Charlton.
All right, moving down to Kempton for their 8:10 next, and this one is a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We'll start here with New Strategy, James, who got off the returned to winning ways at Beverly last time when the tongue tie went on, only narrowly winning that day and a pound higher here. Can he follow up?
Yeah, anyone by nose New Strategy at a Beverly last time out, but it was a step back up in trip. And it seemed to work the Oracle as he ran over 6 furlongs the time before then, the extended 7 at Beverly. And I think that helped him. James Dore replaces Kevin Stott, the Godolphin jockey. And in a race which lacks really any unexposed types, I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. Because, I'd say, generally at Kempton in a 0-85, you might get a lightly raced 3-year-old. But it doesn't really be anything like that in here, apart from New Strategy. And I think he can probably get the job done once again. Of the others, Presumido is pretty consistent on your weather, has his first run after a layoff, so probably watch the market for him. But he does go well on the weather surfaces, and he's dangerous. New Leaf is very consistent for Jeremy Gask and Martin Lane, but he's just looking a little bit old at 9 years old against some of these unexposed 3-year-olds. And the one that's drawn widest is Commodore for Highclere Thoroughbred Racing and George Baker. He's been a little bit disappointing, I think. Only got a Bath maiden win to his name. Was a good second at Sandown off 75. Unfortunately, went up £5, and that mark just looked a little bit beyond him at Newmarket last time. Hopefully, he can improve from that effort, but I think he needs to, and New Strategy will be the selection for James Doyle and Godolphin.
New Strategy in the 8:10 then, and the final race we look at is the 8:20 at Bath, which is a class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. Again, this one's for 3-year-olds and older. Field of 9 here, James. We'll start with Mambo Spirit, who is knocking on a bit now, but returned to winning ways over this course and distance with a fairly comfortable success last time.
Won very easy, didn't he, Mambo Spirit? And the problem with that is the handicap has put him up to a mark of 71. Now, he's not won off a mark higher or in the 70s since 2007. So you're going back a fair way for the 11-year-old, but he really looked in the form of his life when he won here at Bath last time. He goes well on the track, goes well on firm ground, so he ticks a lot of boxes, but surely at 11 years old he's not going to start winning off 70 again, so I think he just could be a little bit high in the handicap. Of the others, Groundworker ran well when just touched off at Lingfield on Saturday evening by Great Expectations off today's mark of 75, and Gary Mahone got a good tune out of him on that occasion. And in a probably similar kind of greater race, I think he has got an excellent chance. So Grand Worker will be the selection for Sylvester Kirk and Gary Mahone. Of the others, Edged Out is, of course, instance winner for Christopher Mason and has got the services of Eddie Greatrex to take off a useful £5. He'll be there or thereabouts, but just looks like the handicapper might have got hold of her after her success here back in June. She's £5 higher. I might say just been struggling a little bit off that mark. We'll need all of Eddie Greatrex's £5 claim, but probably is the main danger to Groundworker.
All right, Groundworker, the selection for James in the 8:20. As always, let's just have a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, in a very, very tricky sprint at Beverly in the 3:35, we've gone for C. Vermont. Always very consistent. I think draw one could be crucial for Rebecca Basterman's Gelding. At Salisbury, we've gone for the improving Suffused for Roger Charlton and Sheikh Khalid Abdullah. Won well over course since last time, I think, can follow up in listed company. In a reasonably uncompetitive handicap at Kempton, not made an exposed three-year-old, so new strategy will be the selection for James Doyle and Saeed Bin Sarur. And in the final race at Bath, the 8:20, we've gone for Groundworker for Gary Mahan and Sylvester Kirk.
Good work. Thanks, James. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
No worries.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel will be the team in the studio. It's Beverly, Newton Abbott and Salisbury on Wednesday afternoon, Bath and Kempton in the evening, and racing over in Ireland on Wednesday night as well from Goran Park. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.